Hi, this is John Barnes, and you're listening to Cop On.
Welcome to Cop On Podcast, you absolutely glorious fruit pastels. This is a quote from As You Like It by William Shakespeare, and it goes as follows. But it is a melancholy of mine own, compounded of many simples, extracted from many objects, and indeed the sundry contemplation of my travels, which, by often rumination, wraps me in the most humorous sadness. I'm delighted to be joined by Abdul from Watch _ LFC. Abdul, delight to have you with us. We don't have very long today, but I do want to talk about the melancholy of having drawn with Manchester United away, and then what did we do? We lost last night 3-0 to Atalanta. My brain is in, what do they call it? Cognitive dissonance. My brain is trying to tell me it didn't happen, but it did. Abdul, we got spanked. And going back to that Shakespeare quote, do you have a humorous sadness or is it just melancholy?
I think it's a real sense of, for me, I think, yeah, we just underestimated them. And it was a real kind of surprise because obviously we underestimated them. So I think for me personally, not so much sadness along the way this season after doing so many amazing things this season. So yeah, kind of sadness, anger, regret, all kind of mixing in for sure. But I think overall for me, it's just surprise. I think, yeah, I don't think I gave as much respect to Atalanta as I should have. I'm sorry for that. If there's any Atalanta fans listening, I think you guys deserved a lot more respect from Liverpool yesterday.
I respected them. I was saying in our little chat group before, and if you do want to join the Cop On WhatsApp group, do let me know, copponpodcast@gmail.com. I was saying how good they were beforehand. I mean, even a couple of weeks ago when we got drawn against them, because they have some wonderful players. Again, I don't watch Serie A, but I do watch the stats. And their stats are great, you know, like regardless of their league position and their current form. I think it's one of those teams that, you know, when they want to turn it on, they really can. And when they sort of half lose interest, then they can lose to, for example, they lost to Cagliari last weekend. But, you know, they've got great players all over. You know, Darun is experienced, Zappacosta's experienced. They've got great youngsters. Pašalić was superb in midfield. Ruggeri, the young fullback, did extremely well, and of course Coop Miners and De Ketelaere, fabulous. Scamacca, he's got a lot better since he left West Ham, but he is not as good as we made him look last night. He's not, certainly not, a mix of Eusebio, Maradona and Pele, which is what we made him look like. It was deeply frustrating nonetheless, and there's something I want to ask you about, because in a sense, it's inevitable whenever Liverpool have some bad results, like we've drawn 2, lost 2 and drawn 1 from our last 5 matches in all comps. I wonder if in the context of the last 5 matches and the inconsistencies and the very poor defending we've seen, especially if there is a sense that Jurgen Klopp, having announced his departure as early as January, we had that sort of buzz of like defiance and we're going to do it for Jurgen, but now that seems to have like calcified, if you know what I mean. Like, I found it interesting recently, he was asked about somebody mentioned in an interview that the tag mentality monsters, and Jurgen immediately he said, yeah, but you can't keep using that expression because it loses its meaning. And I think, in a sense, this idea that Klopp is leaving, we have to do it for Jurgen, has taken away from the 100% crystal clear focus and mad determination to win every single game of football and don't look beyond that. because you could see it in the interviews with the players. Virgil van Dijk, Harvey Elliott recently, they've both said that, yeah, we're trying to win all these trophies for the boss. It's beginning to annoy me, Abdul. Is that something that you're worried about, that this is because Jurgen Klopp is leaving, that it's too much of a distraction to the players?
I don't think it's necessarily because of that, but I do also agree. I understand why people are bringing it up at this moment. And I think, yeah, there is a lot of logic to that sentiment. I think that the way that the season has panned out, number one, I think we've beaten every Liverpool fan's expectations at the beginning of the season. I don't think after we missed out on Caicedo, we brought in Endo, with all the stuff that was happening with our sporting director, and we had Horst Schmatzke, and we weren't sure if he was going to be there temporarily or if he was going to get the job full time. And I think a lot of fans did not expect Liverpool to be at this point going top of the Premier League, deep in the Europa League. They probably expected that. But, you know, already won one trophy, gunning down for another two more before the end of the season. I think, so in that regard, like, I think we've already overdone what we expected to do this season. And that's been because of really key goals in matches and really big performances when we've gone down to 10 men, for example, or Darwin Nunez scoring the two goals against Newcastle, or getting that winner the other week against, I think, Burnley when we were wearing the purple kit. Was it Burnley? I'm not sure. But last-minute winner, chip over the top from McAllister. There's just been big moments which have kept the momentum.
Nottingham Forest, 90+9.
Yeah, Nottingham Forest. Yeah, that's the one. So I feel like these big moments have led us to where we are this season. And I think if fans want to be a little fair to the team, I think we can basically say that what's happened in the last few matches, last few weeks, it's not good enough. Absolutely, it's not good enough. But it hasn't completely killed us, you know. We have conceded a lot more goals than we should have, but we're still in it. We're still at the top of the Premier League, joint points with Arsenal. We do have a chance in Europe still, despite being down 3-0 at halftime. And yeah, there is still every opportunity in the league. And having this setback could almost be a positive. Like you said, I think there has been a loss of focus over the last few weeks. And maybe what happened last night and what's happened against United in the previous weeks is kind of that moment where the club can regroup again and say, all right, we need to get back on track. We need to refocus and really attack these next possibly 10 games I think we have left if we get back through Atalanta. Like, this could be the moment, basically, where we really gun down the title. And every player is back. So that's how I'm trying to take it.
But with every player being back, they're looking, you know, as rusty as my mum's old Austin Allegro from the 1960s. It's sort of dangerous to be in that car, or it was until she gave it away or sent it to the scrapyard. It was dangerous. It was dangerous to touch and then lick your fingers afterwards, is what I wanted to do as a kid, because it was nice and bright and orange, and that must have been tasty. And it was dangerous, and you don't want it, like, our players coming back looking rusty. Endo's been out injured and he's looked maybe 5 yards off the pace. Curtis Jones, he looks kind of pale. He looks like he hasn't been eating enough iron or something. I don't know. He looks sort of nervous and worried, and it will take him time to get back. Diogo Jota had two headers in the 6-yard box yesterday, and he headed them both backwards. Crazy. But yeah, we've got to give them time, but we don't have time. We've got another game on Sunday, which is in 3 days, against Crystal Palace, which is complete madness. So I get what you're saying. We're getting all these players back. But honestly, on current form, Endo's last two matches, for example, I would put the kids in ahead of him. I'd play McConnell ahead of Endo, unless they just need minutes. It's going to be very difficult against Crystal Palace. Looking ahead, though, I mean, I don't know. We've got to be careful, though. We can't be too critical. We're talking about the last 5 games, but that loss to Atalanta ended a 33-match unbeaten home run, which is the 5th longest in our history. So we can't be too critical. Klopp mentioned after the game as well that it was a tactical thing as much as anything. The players completely lost their heads and they didn't play. And I was watching a video about how to beat man marking systems. And Pep Guardiola talking about it, it's very interesting. He was saying, even though I think he's, you know, pretty much overrated as a manager, he's still a very good manager. He knows what he's talking about. And he was talking about the positional play and how you have to be patient with the ball. And if you play one touch, then that's exactly what a man-marking team wants you to do. So you have to be, and if you analyze Man City, how they play against man-marking teams, this video was very interesting. It was from a YouTube channel called Positional Play. And they run diagonally in weird positions. So both right-sided players will run to the diagonally to the left wing, while central players will run up and down vertically, and the left-hand players will run towards the right wing, and all this crazy movement. Anyway, all of that to say, we could have done a lot better tactically. Our players are looking a bit rusty, but we don't have time. Looking forward to Crystal Palace. It's at Anfield on Sunday. 3 p.m. kickoff. That might be French time. It might be 2 p.m. UK time. I don't know. Google it. Find out wherever you live. I'm sure you will find the kickoff time. But, you know, are you confident against them? I mean, their last five results are a 4-2 loss against Manchester City, a 1-0 loss against Bournemouth, a 1-1 draw with Nottingham Forest, a 1-1 draw with Luton Town, and a 3-1 loss to Tottenham. So on the back of a defeat to Atalanta, a chastening defeat, as they say, it's the right team to play, isn't it?
Yeah, but I started this podcast saying I underestimated Atalanta, so I'm definitely not going to make that mistake twice. I think all of the Premier League teams this season have posed their own threat in their own way. And I think it will be exactly the same thing with Crystal Palace. They know that Liverpool are going to be trying to put in a performance to really, you know, turn the tide and, you know, dispel any lack of confidence. So they will come knowing that they need to be sharp. They need to be focused. They need to defend well. They need to defend deep. And they know, I mean, Liverpool fans know that playing those low block teams is kind of our kryptonite. And that man marking thing that you talked about there, we struggle against teams who really sit back and don't let us have the space to have transitions. And we don't know how to really create clear cut chances in those situations. We still score goals. I think we score more goals than anybody, but it's like, yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Also, at least it's not, I don't know, Arsenal or someone who's actually a top quality team who can make us pay. So, yeah, I think just boys have got to clear their heads, get ready. And we've got a big fixture on Sunday, not because of who it is, but just because of what we want to do and what we want to say with this fixture. Best of luck.
Well, let's have a look. Let's sort of, you know, combine a match review and a match preview. Okay, I want to go through the players quickly before we've only got 10 minutes, unfortunately. I'd love to spend more talking with you. It's a pleasure talking with you, Abdul, as always. But just go through each player, how awful they were yesterday, but also are you going to start them on Sunday? So at the back, Clive Kelleher. He did one of the most incredible saves of the season with his face after 2 minutes or so last night. But then he made an error leading to a goal, and he because he just let it go under his body. But then he pulled off another extraordinary save. Alisson's back in training, apparently, or at least light training. Are you bringing Big Ali back as soon as you can, or are you going to give Cueva another run out?
So, yeah, these are the difficult decisions that we're going to have to make with these players coming back. I feel personally, I think for the goal position, I would go with Kelleher just because, yeah, we're going to, if Alisson wasn't even on the bench last night, but again, it's a keeper. You don't really put a keeper on the bench if you're not going to use him. So, yeah, I think he's not ready yet. And if he's not ready yet, then, yeah, don't play him. Give him the game against Atalanta on Tuesday. Thursday, give him the time he needs to get back to full fitness, because we're going to need him properly. So yeah, Kelleher for the Sunday, and then
yeah, I mean, he's done so well. His passing accuracy is insane, by the way. I don't know if you've seen it. His short and mid-range passing accuracy, off the top of my head, I can't remember the exact figures, but there's something like, before last night anyway, he had attempted 272 passes short and mid-range, and he was successful in 270 out of 272. Two missed passes in about 20 matches. Absolutely insane.
I think with Kelleher, like, he is actually, I think, better with his feet than Alisson, which is crazy.
Definitely.
People always, my friend always says this, who I watch games with, it's like he's never fazed by anything. Like, like his emotions, his body expressions, his facial expressions, like, he's never ever fazed. And he's got a great temperament, I think. That's a great temperament for a keeper. Usually, you know, being a goalkeeper is like, they're usually a crazy person, I think, according to Bruce Grobbelaar, because to be that person, you're the one person, you're the one goalkeeper, and like, you have to have crazy kind of personality. But he's approaching it in a different way, where he has just a very cool personality in all situations. His mistakes are annoying when they happen, but he's also still very young for a goalkeeper. He's 25 now, or 26.
25, and, yeah.
And, you know, even Alisson has mistakes in him, which everybody forgets about, because he also makes amazing saves. And as Kelleher's career progresses, the mistakes will cut out and he'll start doing incredible things. And hopefully that's at Liverpool for as long as possible, until he wants to go and make a better career for himself.
I mean, I mentioned in the last episode, I reckon we should just send him out on loan permanently until Alisson retires and just bring him back, because he's ace. Joe Gomez, we don't have much time. Let's kind of whiz through these if we can. Joe Gomez, he had two shots last night, much to the chagrin of Jurgen Klopp, or chagrin, if you're going to use the French pronunciation. Joe Gomez, yeah, two absolutely wild shots. One key pass he managed with a 79.2% passing accuracy. He won three headers. But generally speaking, his performance was pretty woeful. A 5.88 out of 10, according to Who Scored. And I think that's generous for once. Especially the second half, he stank the place out, sorry to say so, because he's been immense, and it was just one of those games that happens to everybody, but it just happened to so many of our players all at the same time yesterday. Joe Gomez was awful. So, I mean, you know, now that Trent's back, Connor Bradley is also available. Who are you playing at right back?
Yeah, I think Connor Bradley starts this right back this weekend. It's unfortunate with Joe. I think he's had a downturn in performances, and that's coincided with him being like played in lots of different positions for England. I think he played like right back, but his best position for us this season has been left back, and now we're starting to mess around with his positions and he's putting in poor performances. So,
and the shoot thing has gotten to his head, hasn't it? You know, with the crowd thinking they're funny, you know, the minority of the crowd, but the vocal minority. Joe Gomez, he's out of the team for me. Sorry,
you think so? So yeah. I think, yeah, the way that we set it up, it's like Robertson is going to play on the weekend because we rested him. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like my personal bias would still be to play Joe Gomez at left back in my best possible team. So that's
okay.
My
give him bias. Another go. Okay, get him back on the horse.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Everybody will disagree with that, but it's all good.
Well, you don't have to agree with anybody, Abdul. You be you. Absolutely. I was listening to a very interesting podcast by an Iranian filmmaker, and she was saying that, you know, because she won a prize at the Sundance Film Festival, and how she went from obscurity to winning one of the most coveted prizes in filmmaking, was that she decided to deliberately forget about trying to please people by making films that people would like, and instead she decided to just forget about all of that and just make something, you know, creative, original. And in the end, she ended up liking it, and then she found an audience, you know. So there you go. So you do you. You're playing Gomez at left back. Okay. And then in the center, Konate, I thought he had a decent game, actually. One of the only ones, because he was putting out fires left, right and centre against Skanako, who was a bit difficult to play against, but I thought he did very well. in the duels against him, but only 82.7% passing accuracy. And for your centre backs, you want at least 88, 89%. So he was giving the ball away a bit too much, was Ibu. So I don't know, would you give him the game because he's still working his way back from injury? Or
I think the weird thing with Konate and Kwanzaa is I feel like the games that we give them should have been switched around at some point, because obviously we're not giving Konate more than one game a week to preserve his fitness. But I feel like we're playing Kwanzaa in the Premier League and we're playing Konate in the fixture, which isn't as important. So, I don't really understand it. I think Klopp's made a few weird decisions with rotations over the last few weeks, like Salah playing 90 minutes against Sparta Prague and then needing to come off early against United when we needed a goal, and did the same thing with Konate and Kwanzaa in those two fixtures as well. So, yeah, I think we need Konate against Crystal Palace, but Klopp won't play him because he only plays Konate one game a week, so it will be Kwanzaa. But yeah,
but maybe it's going to change because he's feeling a bit fitter now. I don't know. Yeah. I see what you're saying, but maybe this is the game to flip it around and put Kwanzaa on the midweeks. And
yeah, quite possibly. Fingers crossed. We need our strongest possible defense right now, and we need stability in defense. Like, more than anything, we're leaking a lot of goals because we've had a lot of players chop and change, not playing the same thing, and we need to basically pick our strongest defense for every single game that we have remaining this season. And they are all pretty much back now. So I can understand why people would want to put Robertson in there and get that real kind of defensive solidity that we had. But yeah, then there's still an argument for Conor Bradley and Joe Gomez, because it's like they've been in our most consistent defenses, but maybe we've been conceding a lot with them. But yeah, who knows? I think, yeah, just get everybody back into their best positions and start everybody except for Joe Gomez at left back.
I totally agree. So I don't know. Yeah, for me, I'm playing Robbo, but okay. In the sixth position, midfield, I'm going McAllister, Harvey Elliott, and either Curtis or Szoboszlai. I think he needs to get back on the horse. Harvey Elliott, I think he did very little wrong yesterday. He had one shot, of course, whacked the crossbar and the post. He had one superb run, but unfortunately there was a poor pass by Cody Gakpo, couldn't find it, but he was clear one-on-one with the goalie, but the pass didn't make it to him. Apart from that, he had only one key pass. He's not really a natural right winger, I don't think. So in midfield, he's not even a natural number eight, but he's gotten a lot better at that. So I'm going to say McAllister in the six, Szoboszlai and Elliott. What do you reckon in midfield?
Yeah, I think with midfield, I've been fearful for the last few weeks about McAllister getting an injury. And I feel like we've played him a lot. I think
He was tired yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah, so I feel like we've been forced now into... we're probably going to be forced into giving him a rest this weekend, or at least like giving him only 60 minutes maximum, because we don't want to use him out. Like we do it with all of our best midfielders, like Thiago, Naby Keita before him, although maybe not Keita, but like I hate the fact that our most talented midfielder will get like injuries and not be able to actually play. So I don't want that to happen to McAllister. So I would personally give him a rest this weekend from the start. I would go Curtis, Szoboszlai, and I want Harvey Elliott to play, to be fair. I think Harvey Elliott should play.
Curtis in the sticks.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, okay. That could work. I like that. And then up front, now we've got a few choices. Jota is back. Jota the Slaughter. He's starting for me straight off the bat. He's going to start off the left with Darwin in the centre. Darwin was taken off after 59 minutes yesterday, but he was by far a most dangerous player with four shots. He was taken off in the match before that as well. Against Manchester United, he was taken off, and when we needed a goal as well. It's very strange. But anyway, he only got 5.93 on whoscored.com, and I thought that was a bit harsh because he blew his big chance after the through ball from Curtis Jones. But as usual, he was our most threatening player, along with Salah, who had three shots. So four shots for Darwin, three shots for Salah. They're both playing, for me, against Palace, with Jota on the left. But then, hang on, that means I'm dropping Lucho. Lucho's been brilliant. Oh, I don't know now. Lucho on the left. Lucho on the left. Jota in the middle. Salah on the right. No, I'm dropping Mohamed Salah. Oh, I'm creating these headlines, man. I'm creating these headlines. Because Mo Salah, I love the guy. We're going to have to, over the next couple of years, work our way around going without him. And we need someone to play in that right wing position. I'm going to try it against a relatively weak opposition like Crystal Palace. I'm doing it, man. Mohamed Salah, he's been off the pace.
Very ballsy.
It's ballsy. And fortunately, I'm not paid to make these decisions because I don't know if I'd be able to handle the backlash if it went wrong. But Jota on the right, Lucho on the left, and Darwin in the middle, right? And if it doesn't work, I'm putting Mo Salah up top as a centre forward, and then he can rotate with Jota.
I mean, really, really nice outside the box thinking. I think you know you might be onto something here. I was having a walk to work. And I was thinking, the only reason why we've done this weird rotation thing with Salah where he's not playing the right games and then we have to take him off early is because Salah was this player who just played every single game, like Virgil, for a long time. And it's almost like a sign of the times. If, like, Virgil's done it really well. He's come back from a big injury and he's gone back to just playing every single game because we need him. But Salah, I feel like he wants to play every single game. And that's why Klopp isn't giving him a rest against Sparta Prague and whatever, because it's a sign to Salah that, oh, you know, I'm finally reaching the age where I'm declining and I need to be managed. And Salah doesn't believe that himself internally. I'm sure Salah's telling Klopp every time, like, play me. I need to play. Don't drop me. So that's what's factoring into Klopp's decisions. But it's the reality of life and football. You like... At some point, to get the best of Salah, we're going to need to manage his minutes. And I'm not saying that should be happening from this season or like should be happening now or even this weekend. I do think he probably will start this weekend. But yeah, it's something that we have to grapple with, the nature of mortality. Salah, you need to stop playing every single game and focus on the games that we need you for. And yeah, maybe this weekend is the right time to do it. But one other thing, just to, I think Cody Gakpo's performance yesterday definitely means that he deserves maybe a look in. I know that we rested Diaz.
So off the left. Only off the left.
Yeah.
Because he was ineffective in the centre, but he's very, very good off the left. So you're putting Gakpo in, because that's a very good point. He got 7.79 on Who Scored. He was the one player who did really well.
Yeah.
Five key passes yesterday.
Yeah.
Five. That's very, very good. He didn't manage a shot.
Yeah,
which is, you know, but his link-up play was excellent. So are you going Gakpo on the left with who?
So that's the thing. Like, when Diaz came on, I noticed that Gakpo was still on the left and Diaz was sometimes playing in the center. And that was really weird to me, but I think it could work. Or maybe even Gakpo left, Salah center, and then Diaz on the right. But I just feel like that's too much changing of positions. You need to play players where they're the strongest. So I think we'll start with just the main front three. I think we'll go Nunez, Salah, and Diaz from the left. But then we have very strong options to bring off the bench in Jota and Diaz, Jota and Gakpo. But yeah, I think the one position on Sunday, which is a bit in question, is just the six. I reckon McAllister probably will play, and I'll feel very sad about it because I'll be scared for the whole time he's on the pitch. Like, is he going to get an injury? Oh, I hope he doesn't get an injury, because he doesn't shy away from challenges, our little Argentinian terrier. He really throws himself in there, and it just takes one little thing to be wrong, and he's then out for the rest of the season, and everything just fizzles out because he's the one midfielder that we need. But I would hope that Klopp is thinking about, you know, can he play there? Maybe Endo does come in instead of him. I don't know, but yeah.
I tell you what I'd do, though, because I'm starting Alexis McAllister, but I would take him off if he's being man-marked. Because, again, off the top of my head, I can't remember the exact stats, but his touches per game, he's around about 90 or 100 touches per game. But in the last two games against Manchester United, he had 77 touches of the ball. And last night he had 76. And in both games, he was man-marked. And so if he's being man-marked, he's not very good because he only had an 80.4% passing accuracy, which is not good for him last night. So if he's being man-marked, I'd hook him off at halftime or just give him a free roll. And if he's being man-marked, he can play as a right winger or right back or just somewhere to get his marker away, create the space for other people. But yeah, I think that's something that we have to look at. Is it tiredness or is it just the fact that he's being man-marked?
No, I think, tactical consideration. Yeah, I think I didn't realize that. But yeah, I think, I don't know how Crystal Palace play under this new manager. I don't think they have their very best available squad. Like, I think Olise is injured. I believe so.
I'll check that. Yeah. I believe
Decore is possibly injured as well still.
Sheikh Decore is out for the season, I believe. Yeah.
I'm not sure they have the cojones to do it. And they're away at Anfield. So, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's just the question mark is over Curtis Jones as well. He's played a few games. Is he going to come? Does he have the, like, he's got a bit more rhythm now. Do we play him again? Or do we try and make sure we don't get him injured or try and ease him back into it? Because I think he starts if we're not trying to, like, because he's a bit fresh, right? He's been injured for a while, so we need his fresh legs. But then also Ryan Gravenberch, he's back, he's fresh. We could, you know, rely on his fresh legs as well. Oh, who knows?
There are options. Yeah. But it's just whether, you know, it's just how many of them are coming back. It's still going to be, you know, rusty as the Griswold.
I feel like mm-hmm. what I would do is, I would like start Trent on Thursday in the second leg against Atalanta. I would start Jota in that match as well. And that would be the like match to just give them minutes for rhythm kind of thing. But also they're key players for us, right? They're game-changing players for us. Trent with his abilities on the ball, Jota with his finishing. So it's not even that we're just giving them an easy game. It's like we need them and they're also getting the minutes there. And they're more likely to make it happen for us than, you know, Connor Bradley and maybe Gakpo or whatever. So that's what I think. Alisson, Trent and Jota all need to start on the Thursday fixture. And for this weekend, just go back to your Connor Bradley at right back. Robbo comes in at left back, probably. I know I've argued against it, but I see it happening. Harvey Elliott, I think, needs to start as many games as possible because we need goals and we need to win. And Darwin's almost the most dangerous attacker. So, yeah, that would happen as well.
Okay. Well, no, interesting. But, you know, I'm not exactly sure that Harvey Elliott would equal goals and assists, but he's looking more and more dangerous and he's knitting things together. I'm just trying to look at a site for injuries. I found a fantasy football injury site and Crystal Palace injuries, of course. Olise is not there, so it appears that he is free to face Liverpool and back to face Liverpool, which is bad news for us, really, although I'm glad when players recover from injury, of course. So they've got Sheikh Doucouré out for the season, Rob Holding injured, Sam Johnston, the goalkeeper, injured, Mark Gahey out until the 27th of April. That's a big miss for them, massive miss for them. Rak Saki has a hamstring injury and is 50-50 for this game, apparently. Mateus França has an unknown return date, which is good because to me he's an unknown player. Don't even know who he is, Mateus França. And Chris Richards has a knock and he's likely to be back on the 27th of April. So it looks like Elise's fit, Eze's fit, and that would lift them. Crystal Palace's record against Liverpool between 2015 and 2017, they won three matches in a row at Anfield, but then they haven't won since then. We had played six matches. Liverpool have won five and we've drawn one. So we'll see what happens, Abdul. I've got to go 15 minutes later than expected because we just got too much to talk about and too much. But thank you so much. And to everyone who is on Twitter or X, then do follow watch_LFC. And I want to leave you with the words of Walt Whitman, this somewhat controversial but somewhat brilliant American poet, who said in one of his poems the following thing. He said, he wrote, "I understand the large hearts of heroes, the courage of present times and all times, how the skipper saw the crowded and rudderless wreck of the steamship and death chasing it up and down the storm, how he knuckled tight and gave not back an inch and was faithful of days and faithful of nights and chalked in large letters on a board, be of good cheer, we will not desert you." And I wish that Virgil van Dijk has chalked those words in large letters at the AXA Training Centre. Thank you, Abdul, and thank you, listener, cherished listener. We'll speak to you soon. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.